Montana Talks with Aaron Flint.
All right, we got the phone lines open for you, 406-294-0970, or you can message us on the Montana Talks app as well. I think we've got one guest joining us here later this hour of the show. Another great guest kicking off the 8 o'clock hour of the program. And then the rest of the time, we got the phone lines open for you and a whole bunch of topics to get to. Let's get to some Montana-specific stories here as we kick off the 7 o'clock hour of the show. Yeah, I mentioned this briefly at the end of the 6 o'clock, at the end of the 6 o'clock hour. So what are we seeing taking place in Montana? In theory, the state legislature delivered residential property tax relief for most property taxpayers. Some are going to get hit with tax increases, which is just crazy if you ask me, because we've had a budget surplus after budget surplus after budget surplus. Why does anybody need to pay more? It makes zero sense to me, and it's fundamentally why I think we just need to completely change our property tax system and stop basing it off of the value of your home. That's the biggest problem we have, and it's a problem we've had since the 1990s, if not earlier. But what we're seeing taking place now, if you listen to the show last week, is Flathead County's Republican county commissioners are lowering property taxes. Missoula County Democrat county commissioners are raising property taxes. Well, Speaker of the House Brandon Lehr issued this statement yesterday on behalf of House Republican leadership in response to Missoula County's recent decision to raise mills, a move that will directly increase property tax bills for local families and homeowners. Speaker Lehr saying, quote, "Families across Montana are already stretched thin by rising costs. Instead of finding ways to budget responsibly, Missoula County chose to raise mills, which means higher property tax bills for hardworking homeowners. This decision passes the buck to taxpayers when Montanans can least afford it." Yeah, Missoula County commissioners approved an 8% increase in property taxes, adding millions in new collections to cover day-to-day operations. For homeowners, this translates into noticeable increases year over year, with even modestly valued properties facing higher bills. Now, the other thing is think about it. They raised rates, but what also raised? Likely, the value of the homes also probably went up. So you're already paying more because the value of your home went up, right? But then they raised the rates, so now you get hit again. It is so absurd. But again, this is what Democrats in Missoula voted for. You know, unfortunately, when you look at statewide election returns, typical, you know, votes for Republican candidates at the statewide level in Missoula County, 30-35%. If you got a good candidate, that's so. When you've got over 60% of the people in Missoula County voting for Democrats, you're getting what you pay for. Well, you're not really getting what you paid for, but you're paying for what you voted for is probably a better way to put it. All right, back right after this.
Here's a look at your Montana weather for Billings and Bozeman. With a mix of clouds and sunshine developing today, a few isolated showers and thundershowers possible, especially this afternoon, as we otherwise stay with high temperature readings ranging from about 82 in Bozeman to the upper 80s in Billings. Tonight, a few showers and thunderstorms possible around the region with overnight lows from 52 in Bozeman to around 60 in the Billings area. That's a look at your Montana weather on Montana Talks. I'm meteorologist Paul Frobley.
This is House Call for Health. A new study shows people may have aisle anxiety and decision fatigue during their trip to the grocery store. The nationwide survey of 2,000 adults by Talker Research finds most people spend about 4 minutes deciding on each item they buy at the supermarket. Many say shopping feels like an investment, especially for products tied to health, wellness, or those with a long shelf life. And the numbers tell the story. 41% admit second-guessing half the choices made in a given day. day. More than a quarter say even the simplest decisions can leave them stressed. And at the supermarket, 40% of consumers say they research food products more today than they did 5 years ago. More focusing on labels that promise healthier for you, or non-toxic, or clean, or no added sugar. Researchers say more than a third of us have become what they call product detectives. For more health news, go to foxnewshealth.com. House Call for Health. I'm Lisa Brady, Fox News.
So we got to talk about this on Wednesday's show. Yeah, I saw this earlier in the week that they were going to be dedicating a memorial for tow truck drivers here in Montana. Governor Gianforte joining the Montana Tow Truck Association and more to dedicate this memorial near Three Forks, Montana, in honor of fallen tow truck drivers. This effort really got into gear 5 years ago. We'll talk about that and more coming up on Wednesday's Montana Talk, statewide, 9 to 10 right here.
It's morning in Montana. This is Montana Talks with Aaron Flint.
All right, so one more note here on this press release from the Montana House of Representatives. Speaker of the House, Brandon Lear, on behalf of the Republican leadership in the Montana House of Representatives. So in theory, the state lowers property taxes. But then what happens? Democrat-run cities, Democrat-run counties, they just take whatever relief you are going to get and they put it in their own pockets, in their own budgets instead. You know, the Gallatin County Commissioners, for example, the Democrat Gallatin County Commissioners, boy, they sure have figured out a way to get more money in their pockets over the past few years, haven't they? You guys are getting hammered with the high price of everything because of the Bidenflation. Then you're getting hammered with, you know, the value of your home goes up. So then you get taxed more because the taxes are based off of the value of your home. And what do the Gallatin County Commissioners do? They raise their own pay. They raise their own salary year after year after year. I mean, it just poke you right in the eye because they just figure, well, Gallatin County is a safe Democrat county. So nobody cares what we do. We've got a D behind our name. We can get away with whatever we want. But that's where Speaker Lear comes back to it now here. He says, Montanans deserve stability, not surprise increases every budget cycle. It's time to have a serious discussion about putting limits on local mill increases in future sessions so families can plan and budget with confidence. So that's the problem here. So last week when we were talking about property taxes, and we had Kendall Cotton, the CEO of the Frontier Institute, on the show. We had a great phone call from Bill Witsit in Big Fork, talking about a whole host of things that are on his property tax bill. And the point that we were making was, like, you know, by and large, they're getting more money. This is what the Flathead County scenario showed us, is that they're getting more of your money. Property values go up. There's more homes being built. There's more businesses being built, unless you're in parts of rural Montana that aren't seeing the growth. But if you're in these counties, in these cities that are growing, their budgets are growing. Their revenues are growing already. So they don't need to take more money out of your pocket because they've already got other people putting money into the pot now. And that's why Flathead County Commissioner said, hey, we're going to lower the property taxes for our residents here. And the Democrats say, nah, we're going to raise them even higher. And so if we don't place limits on local level taxation, local level spending, then people are just going to continue to get hit over and over and over again, especially if you live in these Democrat-run cities or these Democrat-run counties. Now, will the pain threshold eventually get high enough to where people finally stop voting for Democrats in places like Bozeman and places like Missoula? Good luck with that one. I think Gallatin County has a better chance of eventually flipping red than Missoula County does. But But again, the big picture here is that we have to stop basing things off of the value of your home. Now, I got an interesting response after our conversations about property taxes last week. I got a great message here from Michael Waterman. Mike Waterman is the executive director of business and operations for the Bozeman Public Schools. And I'm working to get Mike on the show. Maybe probably have to be next week because I know he's busy this week. And then starting tomorrow, I head to the Capitol in Helena. We're doing a live show from the Montana State Capitol tomorrow morning. And then I have the honor of being one of the speakers at the 9/11 Memorial Ceremony at the State Capitol right after the show wraps up tomorrow. And then I head to Missoula, and I'll be actually at the stadium in Missoula on Friday morning doing a live show in conjunction with the military alumni reunion that's taking place, and going to have some incredible guests join us on the show Friday from the stadium in Missoula as well. But big picture, the point that Mike was making in this message to me was Montana public schools are funded based on enrollment, not the value of the tax base. So at least when it comes to the schools, new growth does not generate additional revenue for schools like it does for the state and other local governments. He says it just means there's more tax base over which to spread the impact of schools' fixed dollar levies. He says the legislature's changes to the tax rates mean that an increase in mills this year does not necessarily translate into more dollars out of residential taxpayers' pockets. Again, that's not necessarily right. But this raises two other, you know, interesting points is that, okay, and for the schools at least, compared to the other government budgets that we were talking about, an increase in the tax base doesn't necessarily increase into more higher budgets for the schools. Because, hey, if enrollment is declining and a lot of the funding is based on enrollment, well, they're not going to get more of that money. Which begs the question, well, if you're not growing, why do you need more money, right? If you're losing kids, then why do you need more money? I mean, that's the counterpoint to that one. And so what do you need to do to grow, to get more kids in your schools, to encourage more people to have their kids in your schools? But then, you know, yeah, a change in the tax rates and an increase in the mills might not necessarily translate into more dollars out of residential taxpayers' pockets. But again, the schools still have the ability to change that and boost it and boost it and boost it. So without real protections in place, they still have the ability to keep hammering the taxpayers.
Saving you money, I'm Hillary Barsky. The cost of owning a pet and the care for their health continues to rise, making it a challenge for many households to afford them. As much as you may want that cute dog, make sure beforehand that you can keep up with the cost. If you haven't drawn up a budget yet, it might be a good time to do so and focus on preventive care expenses. These treatments include regular examinations, vaccinations, heartworm testing for dogs, dental evaluations, among other costs. Your vet might be the place to buy medication, but you can possibly save dough by getting a prescription and shopping around at pharmacy chains and online sellers. And try to respond proactively when you first spot potential problems with animals so you can ultimately avoid more complicated surgeries and have a financial cushion in place. A good rule of thumb used to be to build up a cash reserve to meet at least 3 to 6 months of expenses, but some advisors now recommend at least 8 to 9 months if possible. Saving you money, Hillary Barsky, Fox News.
Hey, Clay, if there was a summer camp for critical thinking, we'd be the chief counselors. Those jellyheads in June would be intellectual warriors by August.
Be a lot of fun, too. Some Bill and Ted's Excellent Adventure references thrown in.
This podcast, like a daily dose of that, minus the campfires, archery, and pranking the girls.
The bona fide boot camp for critical thinking. You can get in on it for free at the iHeartRadio app or wherever you get your podcasts. Just search our names, Clay and Buck, listen, and subscribe.
Watch out!
The galaxy is safe once again. In the pretend universe, kids play with pretend guns. In the real world, it's up to us to make sure they don't get their hands on a real gun. If you have a gun in the house, keep it locked, unloaded, and stored separately from ammunition. Safe gun storage saves lives. Learn how to make your home safer at nfamilyfire.org. That's nfamilyfire.org. Brought to you by N Family Fire, Brady, and the Ad Council.
Snakes, zombies, sharks, heights, speaking in public. The list of fears is endless. But while you're clutching your blanket in the dark, wondering if that sound in the hall was actually a footstep, the real danger is in your hand, when you're behind the wheel. And while you might think a great white shark is scary, what's really terrifying and even deadly is distracted driving. Eyes forward. Don't drive distracted. Brought to you by NHTSA and the Ad Council.
A message from Fire Safe Montana. It has been indicated that Montana is headed towards a significant wildland fire season. Now is the time for you and your community to begin your fuel mitigation efforts. Neighborhood meetings, fuel mitigation around your property, planning escape routes, practicing the route. Right now is the time for action. Your local emergency management agency can be contacted for more information. This message brought to you by Fire Safe Montana and aired by the Montana Broadcasters Association.
This is where Montana talks ag with Lane Nordlund.
Yesterday, the White House released the Make America Healthy Again Commission's second report, a strategy aimed at tackling America's childhood health crisis. Secretary of Agriculture Brooke Rollins.
Chronic disease is a challenge in our country. Most American children's diets are dominated by highly processed foods filled with added sugars, unpronounceable ingredients, and additives. We know the American food system is the safest in the world, but now we must do what it takes to make it the healthiest in the world.
The plan highlights the need for more whole, unprocessed foods like fresh beef, fruits, and vegetables. New scientific research on the link between diet and disease, and innovation in agriculture to keep food healthy, safe, and affordable.
Crafting the dietary guidelines, which will be out very, very soon. And within those guidelines, we will be completely resetting and reworking what we suggest to Americans that has a massive, massive impact on how USDA distributes our programs. Federal nutrition advice must be sound, simple, and clear. These guidelines will prioritize whole, healthy, and nutritious foods, such as whole fat dairy, fruits, vegetables, and meats, and suggest limiting highly processed foods and those high in sugar.
I'm Lane Nordlund.
Big topics, big ideas, big sky, Montana talks.
Yeah, so after the series of conversations we had on the show last week looking at property taxes and how, you know, Democrat-run cities and counties like Missoula continue to increase the taxes, the property taxes of their taxpayers, even after the legislature supposedly delivered property tax relief, you're seeing these Democrat-run governments hike your taxes even higher. What about schools? What about schools here? So I shared a couple of points here, and again, thanks to Mike Waterman, the Executive Director of Business and Operations for the Bozeman Public Schools, for jumping in on the conversation and sending me a note with his thoughts on the conversation and a couple clarifications with regard to school funding in particular and how school budgeting is different and can be different from city government funding, county government funding, state government funding, etc. But this is interesting. So he said this. These were the numbers he shared when it comes to the Bozeman School District's tax revenue. He says the Bozeman School District's tax revenue will increase $2.1 million this year, going from $56.3 million to $58.4 million, a 3.7% increase. Of that $58.4 million amount, 62% was approved directly by our voters, because that's, you know, where folks vote for these levies. And if you live in a blue town or a blue community, the majority is more likely to vote for higher property taxes in the form of levies, et cetera. But anyway, he says 62% was approved directly by our voters. 26% is required to be levied by the state of Montana's school funding laws. And the remaining 12% is levied permissively at the discretion of our elected trustees. And so, you know, and as I mentioned before the break, he says Montana schools are generally funded based on enrollment, not the value of the tax base, which is interesting when you think about it, because we've been talking a lot about demographics here recently. And look, even though Montana's population has expanded significantly, especially since 2020, you're seeing some areas that are seeing big population growth, but are actually seeing a decline in the number of school-age kids, because a lot of the people that are moving in are, you know, generally retired or close to retirement age. That's why they had, you know, the financial capability to flee some of the states they fled from and move to a place like Montana, right? They finally were able to get the heck out of Dodge. And so, yeah, it's interesting. And then what was the other interesting angle? You think about it. Okay, so if you've got a blue city, there is an ideological difference in demographics right now. Conservative families are having more kids. This isn't just in America. This is all over the world. Conservative families are having more kids. Liberal, I think they call it, they refer to them as progressive in the Financial Times. Left-wing families are having fewer kids. You know, they bought into the hopey, climate-changey, gloomy-doomy thing. And so they think that if they have kids, well, there's a number of reasons. But anyway, so that's how you could have a blue city that may not be getting the big enrollment increases, right? Even in the midst of massive population increases. Well, then you think about on top of that, what else is a challenge in Bozeman right now? Building a home, getting into a home, something like that. So if you're a family with kids, you're probably more likely going to go to Belgrade, going to go to Manhattan, going to push out to Three Forks, even if you work in Bozeman. And so where are those school dollars going to follow? They're going to follow those kids to Belgrade and Manhattan and to Three Forks, right? But again, if this is my point here. So if the school district's tax revenue, and that's why I look forward to having them on the show next week, And also, I look forward to hearing also some insight from Tom Burnett. Tom Burnett is great when it comes to these types of numbers. And I know Tom Burnett, I actually got a great email from him yesterday. I know he is actually looking at these school budgets right now. And he may call in at some point this morning. We'll see. He's a former Republican lawmaker out of Bozeman that served in the state legislature, and he's great when it comes to numbers. You know, he's the guy who was looking at the library spending. He pointed out that the cost per visit of running these libraries here in Montana has gone up 67% in the last 10 years, even though visits have seen a massive decline. So his point being, why are we spending so much money on these libraries? Why do they cost so much more, even though so fewer people are actually visiting these libraries? So that's why I'd be interested to hear his take also when it comes to this school funding debate. But again, I think the broader concern here is, oh, I should add one more thing here. Mike Waterman in his email, he also said that most taxpayers in Bozeman will pay less in their property taxes for the schools in particular, but some will pay more based off of the way the legislature designed their property tax. All right, so yeah, when it comes to this whole property tax thing, if you guys look at your actual property tax bills, that was the point that Bill Witsit made in Big Fork, was he was like, you know, I'm looking at my property tax bill here. It's like, okay, the state has this tiny little portion over here. There's like 50 different things on his property tax bill. And then there's like two or three different groups that want to ask for more money now. And look, we were just in Big Fork. There is a lot of growth in Big Fork. There is a lot of very, very nice homes being built in Big Fork, especially waterfront property. So they're bringing in a lot more money in Big Fork. So all of those organizations that are asking for higher tax rates of people in Big Fork, you're already getting more tax money by and large. Now, the schools might have some, a little bit of a difference here. They do benefit from it, but and they can adjust their mills. which is the problem you've got in Missoula right now because, oh, they love to adjust their mills. But anyway, but Mike Waterman says that most Bozeman property taxpayers will see a reduction, actually, in what you pay in the school portion of your property taxes. Now, I would add, that's as long as the school board doesn't say, oh, you know what, let's raise those taxes even further down the road, which they could do, right? If, am I mistaken on that point? They could decide to change that in a dime. But here's the other thing. Is that even though if everything stays the same as it is right now, if most property taxpayers see a decrease, there's some property taxpayers that are going to see an increase here, which goes back to my point. If you just saw a revenue increase of 3.7%, why is anybody's taxes going to go up? You know what I'm saying? And that just discourages more growth. It discourages growth in enrollment because why would people want to, you know, how can people afford to put their kids in schools where the costs are just going up like crazy with property taxes and everything else? Hey, I'll tell you what, you know, one of the things I love about Billings' Last Diet is not just the fact that you can lose weight, you can get healthy. I really feel like that program is such a big part of the Make America Healthy Again agenda. But you talk about reducing costs and saving money. I'll tell you what, it's one of the biggest benefits of going through Billings' Last Diet is, yeah, not only do you lose the weight, we've got listeners that have lost over 100 pounds, but after you lose the weight, it's about having a new lifestyle to where you're driving down the road and you're not feeling like you're starving all the time to where you got to then rush in and get some fast food and now you just spent $15 on fast food when maybe a protein bar or something could tide you over until you got home and had some healthy, you know, Montana beef and veggies or something like that. And so it's this lifestyle change that not only helps you keep the weight off, but it also helps keep your costs down as well and save money on food and save money on beverages. I'll tell you what, there's just so many benefits of the program. If you've thought about giving them a call but you haven't yet, do it right now. 294-6751 or go to Billings Last Diet.
Montana Talks, uniting the Treasure State, one conversation at a time. Here's your host, Aaron Flint.
All right, well, as luck would have it, as we've been talking about education here, yeah, Kate, you can go ahead and send Jeff Manasso our direction. All right, here he comes. He's getting patched through right now. But, yes, luck would have it, here we are talking about school budgets, property taxes, revenue increases, you name it. And this is the topic Jeff Manasso is covering, well, slightly different, but tied in with education. Jeff Manasso with Fox News Radio covering this topic here this morning. U.S. high school students lose ground in math and reading, continuing years-long decline. Jeff Manasso, great to have you back on the show. Yeah, break down the numbers for us here.
Hey, my friend, good morning. So high school reading and math scores for American 12th graders hitting a 20-year low. That, according to a new report known as the Nation's Report Card by the National Center for Education Statistics and the Department of Ed, the nation's first such report card to be released since COVID. You know, they talk about the lost generation due to those forced school lockdowns. Now that we now know we never needed, this shows almost half of high school seniors are now testing below basic levels in math and reading. And about 35% of them are at or above proficient reading levels, while 32% of them had a below basic reading proficiency. By comparison, 37% of high school seniors were reading at or above proficiency in the 2019 report card, and about 40% were at or above reading proficiency in 1992. In math, the report card shows that only about 22% of 12th graders performing at or above proficiency standards. The report card also looked at 8th graders and their science ability and found that 31% of them were performing at or above proficient standards. Also, with the number of absent students in schools, absenteeism is rising among all age groups since the pandemic.
You know, yeah, it's almost like what what the COVID lockdowns and the COVID mandates that caused so much harm for our kids and for our schools did was they kind of were like a steroid that on top of an existing flaw and vulnerability in our system. Because the reality is, like, you know, kids in a lot of these public schools all across the country were already struggling in this regard. And then the COVID lockdowns just piled on to the problem.
Yeah, and you know, how do you fix it? Well, you know, there's obviously a lot of different opinions. It's not my job to opine, but educators are saying that, you know, it's critical for parents to stay engaged, to regularly check in with students and their teachers about assignments and absences, you know, amid calls for, you know, more investments. You know, Education Secretary Linda McMahon, in a statement, she calls this report card devastating and a devastating trend. And as far as the calls for more investments, which you hear all the time, she says that American students are testing at historic lows across all of K-12, despite spending billions of dollars annually, or about $18,000 per student. And she says that success isn't about how much money we spend, but who controls that money and where that money is going. She calls the system broken. I mean, many developing nations spend far less on their students, yet they're blowing us out of the water in terms of their math and science and reading scores. I can tell you here in Chicago, with over a $10 billion annual schools budget and an average six-figure teacher salary, the latest schools report shows that in many schools there are zero students that are proficient in either reading, math, or science.
Yeah, I saw the Unleash Prosperity Hotline, which is run by Steve Moore, who former Wall Street Journal editorial board member, Trump 2016 economic advisor. He shared the numbers, apparently, and apparently somebody is trolling the state of Minnesota with billboards right now. You know, they used to refer to Minnesota as Minnesota Nice, although, you know, given what's been taking place in Minneapolis, it's not so Minnesota Nice anymore in parts of Minnesota, which is why so many people have been fleeing Minnesota. But apparently somebody created a billboard that says Minnesota Nice, Mississippi Smarter. Mississippi, which used to be the butt of jokes about, you know, educational statistics and more, Mississippi, even though they spend far less on education, their numbers are far better than Minnesota now. And Minnesota dumps a ton of money into their public schools.
Yeah, they're showing that it's not about the money. It's about standards. It's about investments in terms of time and work. And you know, there's like I said, there's a lot of opinions to be had as to how to change things around. But we'll see what the Department of Ed decides to do. Obviously, Linda McMahon is... one of her priorities is to close up that shop and to allow education to go back to the states for them to, you know, decide and for them to best do what they do in terms of education for their kids in their own states. But a devastating report card.
Isn't the mayor of Chicago the guy who's pushing back on a crime crackdown in Chicago? Wasn't he like the school superintendent there for a while too, or something? So I guess
Yep. He's been long involved in the school board. He's working hand in hand with the teachers union as well. And, you know, again, calling for more investments. We need more money in this, you know, in this school district that's not only over a $10 billion school budget, but it's in the red. And you know, there's lots of issues going on. But again, I'll leave that to the opinion that, you know, for folks who can share their opinion.
That's right.
But there's a lot of students who, you know, during COVID, they were locked out and they were home, you know, probably home alone. And, you know, that not only devastated their education, but perhaps them mentally and emotionally during that time. And so, you know, this is, some would argue, the fallout of years of throwing money at a problem that didn't need more money. And also the, you know, the COVID stuff that just devastated our kids.
Great point. Jeff Manasso, Fox News Radio, appreciate your time as always. Thanks for being with us.
You bet.
All right. Thanks a lot. Yeah. Yeah, I thought that was interesting to point out here that you've got failed schools in Chicago, despite all the money they throw at it. And who was a big prominent figure in the Chicago public schools? The guy who is now the mayor of Chicago, who is failing the city on crime, who is pushing back against President Trump's efforts to help the city clean up all the crime. So from one failure to another. But again, the people of Chicago keep voting for these failures. They keep voting for the Democrat Party. All right, 406-294-0970 is the number for you, or you can message us on the Montana Talks app. I did see Bruce and Ennis sent us a message when we were talking about kind of local school budgets, property taxes, and more. Bruce says this with regard to spending, or if there is an enrollment. I think he was referring to the part of the conversation where we were talking about how, you know, some of these communities, even when they're seeing, you know, growth in population, they're still seeing a decline in school enrollment because fewer people, you know, people are having fewer kids these days. And the population influx that's come into Montana is, like I said before, coming from, you know, people that are more in the retirement age or approaching retirement age. And so they're moving in, but they're not bringing kids with them into the local schools. And so when school funding is in a big way funded based off of, you know, butts and seats, as they would refer to it, how many kids are actually sitting in that classroom, you're not going to get the extra funding. But if you're not getting more students, well, why the need for more money? Is a question that people would throw out there. Bruce and Ennis says this: no, they just increased the amount per student. They downsize, they add teachers, administration, teachers' assistants, et cetera. They buy more books and computers. They never spend less. LOL. That was from Bruce in Ennis. Let's see. Yes, send Connor and Bozeman our direction next. Let's get him on the phone lines here before we get to our next break. 406-294-0970, the number for you as well. Connor, what's your thoughts? Thanks for calling in.
Hi. You know, I'm not a parent. I'm 31 years old. I hope to someday have children, and, you know, seeing these reports coming out about education in this country is a little freaking me out a little bit. But, you know, they keep throwing money at public education thinking that's going to solve things. They keep increasing teacher salary thinking that's going to solve things. But there are a lot of things not people don't necessarily think are related to academics or education that I think are causing these issues. I mean, it's these kids that are on their phones all day, distracted. It's these kids that at a young age are being prescribed antidepressants and stuff, which have a lot of negative side effects and affect their mental health. A lot of it, I think, also has to do with diet. It's children that are eating, you know, cereal, sugary food for breakfast. They're going to school and being told to sit still for 8 hours. And then they get, you know, and then if they don't, they are told they have ADHD. And then
wow. Hey, hold that thought. We got to take a quick break here. Connor, stand by if you can. I think you're touching on something here about a connection to the importance of the MAHA agenda. Stand by.
Empower. Jen has ordered a decadent seafood tower, king crab legs, lobster tails, and a waterfall of caviar. Pricey? You bet. But Jen worked with Empower on her savings and investment strategy and planned for splurges like these. She got good at money, so she can be a little bad. Ooh, champagne. Empower. Invest well. Live a little. Start today at Empower.com.
Past performance is not indicative of future returns. Investing involves risk. You may lose money. Advisory services are provided for a fee by Empower Advisory Group, LLC, EAG, a registered investment advisor with the Securities and Exchange Commission. OMG, those shrimps are really jumbo.
Fox News commentary.
Liberals hate Trump so much they're now defending the drug cartels. I'm Tommy Lahren. More next.
Kudlow on Fox Business is now on the go for podcast fans. Download the Kudlow Show podcast every weekday at foxbusinesspodcasts.com. Kudlow covers the latest headlines and business trends with an emphasis on the financial impact facing households and businesses across the country. Listen to interviews with key business newsmakers. The Kudlow podcast will be available on the go after the show every weekday at foxbusinesspodcasts.com or wherever you download your favorite podcasts.
Last week, the U.S. Navy took out a drug-running vessel tied to the Venezuelan cartel Tren de Aragua. The DOD said it was headed for the U.S., loaded with narcotics. 11 suspected cartel members were killed in a legal, precise military strike. And what's the left upset about? Not the drugs, not the cartel, They're mad we stopped it. Democrats are even calling it a war crime. Vice President J.D. Vance rightfully defended the mission, and now the left is in full meltdown mode. You know, Trump designated these cartels as terrorist organizations, so as commander-in-chief, he had the full authority and duty to act. But today's Democrats would rather defend foreign cartels than protect American communities. The loony left doesn't just want illegal alien gang members staying in this country. They also want foreign drug cartels to keep flooding our communities with poison. I'm Tommy Lahren, and you can watch my show, Tommy Lahren is Fearless, at Outkick.com.
Here's a look at your Montana weather for Billings and Bozeman. With a mix of clouds and sunshine developing today, a few isolated showers and thundershowers possible, especially this afternoon, as we otherwise stay with high temperature readings ranging from about 82 in Bozeman to the upper 80s in Billings. Tonight, few showers and thunderstorms possible around the region with overnight lows from 52 in Bozeman to around 60 in the Billings area. That's a look at your Montana weather on Montana Talks. I'm meteorologist Paul Trombley.
A Morgan Whalen truck was involved in a crash near Laurel, Montana. Plus, Montana's only Chinook salmon fishery. You may be surprised where it's located. And this headline, another Montana official bails on the Democrat Party. Hey, Aaron Flint here with Montana Talks. If you download the Montana Talks app on your phone, you'll get all those headlines and more, plus the entire
Google Amber Earn online at listwithamber.com, listwithamber.com, and you can start packing.
This is where Montana talks. Montana Talks with Aaron Flint.
Yeah, now I really want to go see the latest enrollment numbers and which schools are seeing a decline in public school enrollment, especially in, you know, it'd be no surprise, of course, if there is declining school enrollment in, you know, rural areas that aren't seeing the big growth in population that, say, the Gallatin counties, the Missoulas, the Ravallis, the Flatheads, the Yellowstones are seeing. But what is enrollment? But what about enrollment in these larger AA school districts? Because there were declines in enrollment in recent past years. Are those numbers rebounding now that we get further out following the COVID stupidity, or are those numbers continuing to go down? I really would love to see the latest enrollment numbers, because I'm looking at one story here, KTVH TV. This was from a year ago, but take Helena for example, Lewis and Clark County, a decrease in public school enrollment of 2.23%. And again, this makes my point. I've had real estate agents tell me that the Helena housing market is one of the hottest housing market, or at least it was the last time I caught up with some of these guys. It was the hottest housing market in Montana. And yet you're not seeing a corresponding increase in public school enrollment. And so anyway, very interesting. But let's go back to Connor and Bozeman. Connor, thanks for sticking around. You know, you touched on some other things here. You talked about, you know, some other challenges in the schools and with kids. And I think what you had to say about the importance of diet and nutrition, and are we over prescribing, you know, prescription drugs to these kids, that's creating a lot of challenges. And then, of course, there's all the mental health challenges that have been piled on because of social media and just cultural mental health issues that have been pushed on our culture, on our kids as well. I was listening to an audio book about improve your diet, improve your mind, something like that. And Dr. Dale Williams and I have talked about that from Billings Last Diet. But no, you're exactly right. If you eat better foods, your brain just functions better, right?
Yeah, absolutely. I mean, that's what RFK says. I mean, he eats like red meat and eggs every morning, and he's what, 70, over 70 years old. And I mean, look at him. It's almost overwhelming when you think about all the other issues that need to be addressed that could help our kids. I mean, it's not just education. Health, it's economics. I mean, it's the fact that inflation has gotten so bad now, you know, two parents have to work And, you know, a kid might not always have someone home to be able to help them with their homework, make sure they're understanding the material. I mean, there are so many different factors that are causing a decline in the mental health and the education, I mean, with their children.
That's a good point. The teachers would tell you, yeah, they don't get the help from parents like maybe they used to back in the day. Yeah, that's another good angle. There's a whole bunch of issues, yeah, in America. But, yeah, this MAHA agenda, Make America Healthy Again agenda. Yeah, you were talking about how fit RFK Jr. is. Did you see Chris Christie, you know, the supersized former governor of New Jersey, was trashing RFK Jr. on the Sunday morning talk shows and calling him we, the people of America, are supposed to trust Chris Christie when it comes to our health. Like, so they put out a side-by-side photo of you know, Mr. Super Gym Rat RFK Jr. compared to Chris Christie. It's like, oh, yeah, we're going to listen to Chris Christie when it comes to the nation's health.
Yeah, I think he's the last person I would ask you for any health advice. And I think in the UK also, their health minister is like severely overweight. And it's like, well, these people are obviously bought and paid for by, you know, food and drug companies. And they have no idea what they're talking about and should not be taken seriously when given health recommendations.
Yeah, it's like, hey, we're not body shaming you guys, but it's pretty shameful, the horrific policies you've been putting us through.
Smokey the Bear.
After 80 years of learning his wildfire prevention tips, Smokey Bear lives within us all. Learn more at SmokeyBear.com. And remember,
only you can prevent wildfires.
Brought to you by the USDA Forest Service, your state forester, and the Ad Council.
When it comes to making plans, you are the best. What about those round trips, which are perfect on your way there and perfect on your way back? Or those meetings with friends, surprise parties, camps, birthdays? The same way you plan for the important moments, start planning to protect you and your loved ones from a natural disaster. Sign up for local weather and emergency alerts. Prepare an emergency kit and make a family communications plan. Get started at ready.gov/plan.
Brought to you by FEMA and the Ad Council.